leave you for an introduction with these words, that we have God before our eyes and we turn our backs on all other gods. Okay, so we have God, and praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, we've got God. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah, let the people praise the Lord. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Yes, Exodus 20, verse 2. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You will not make any unto thee, any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, that is in the earth beneath, or that is under the water, that is in the water under the earth. You will not bow down yourself to them, nor serve them. That rabbit's foot? How about a rabbit's foot? Huh? How about a lucky charm? Some of you had lucky charms this morning for breakfast. And I'm telling you, knock it off. Okay, so we turn our back on the gods in the world. Yeah, can you walk away from the gods that are in the world and have only God in front of you? That'll be our subject today. We're going to teach you something about that from Romans chapter 7. So we'll have a good service today. All right, let me repeat it. When you have God in your life, you turn your back on all other gods. I don't need you. Here they are. Here's a pile of gods over here. I don't need you. I don't need any of you. I've got God. They say, no, you need us. You need us, the fortune teller, the horoscope, the gods of this and that and so on. It's like the world doesn't like it that you are independent of those gods. Pharaoh doesn't like it that you would go out free and have only God in your life. So you have only God. How did this happen? By your new birth, by being born again and the Spirit of God filling you, and the Spirit of God leads you, and you have Jesus in your life and no other God. You turn your back on them and you can walk away from them. Can you walk away from them? Yeah, that's a good question. Can you walk away from those gods? Can you turn your back on them? Can you say, I've got God and He is enough? Can you do that? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. We're going to teach that, and we'll have a good time. Years ago, I used to live in Finland, and in the wintertime, it was possible to drive your car across a frozen lake. If you did that, the bridge is 10 miles away, but I could save 10 miles and just cross. And the people did that. I mean, there was a road that went across the lake. On the ice, you know. So the ice is 4 inches thick or thicker. It will hold a lot of weight. Do you believe it? Yeah, I believe it, but I'm going to use the bridge. You know, I believe it. Yeah, I believe it. I've gone to church my whole life. Yeah, I believe that, but I'm using the bridge. That's how I'm living, right? Like, that's how it goes. And I really believe that my life can change if I start really believing what God says and basing my life on it, really believing it. Isn't that good? I do. So let's look at Romans 7, and we will have a message from this text. And the way we'll teach it, we're going to use some props. So I need two chairs over here. Pastor Eugene knows, and Pastor here. And then one chair, this one I'll use, over here. Okay. I hope the musician that uses this chair is It's like giving grace to me. And don't touch my chair. Don't touch my chair. Okay. So this is a general picture, and these props will help our understanding and hearing what we want to say. It really begins in the Garden of Eden. And so we'll look at that. Lord, we came to hear from your Holy Spirit something that will help us. You will teach us. You promised that Jesus, you rose from the dead. You are our teacher, our God, the one that cares about us, the one that teaches us and comforts us. Bless these thoughts. Amen. You know, in the Garden of Eden, that there was a tree of life, right? You have read that in your Bible. And in our teaching, there's a lot of room for very exact, like, looking at the scripture and taking it apart and looking at the meaning. But I'm going to teach you in very general, big sweeps of the paintbrush. Very large picture, very general. But as a student of your Bible, you can study it in more detail. But because of time and the way we teach, you're going to get some understanding by just taking big picture, big swipes of the pen or the paintbrush and get the picture. Here it is. In the Garden of Eden, there were many trees for fruit and vegetable. Everything was there, made by God. And then there was the tree of life. And that's what I want this chair to represent, the tree of life. Okay, it's just one simple tree, chair, and it's called life. One word, life. Life. That's what happened to you and I when we accepted Christ. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Christ, the answer for life. Simple, clean, holy. This is holy. This is God. This is the presence of God. This is God himself. He is the life of God. This is called, in the Greek, we have the two words for life, bios, life, biology, and zoe, life, zoology. Two different Greek words for life. One is biological, and the other one is also, but we use it in our theology to say that is not the natural life of man. That's the life of the physical life of all living things. Like a snake is alive, an insect is alive, a human being is alive, biologically. But when you are born of God, then you come alive in a different way. You come alive to God. You have God's life. This is the tree of life. The life of Christ comes in you. You have life, and it is the Holy Spirit. It is the holiness of God, the truth of God, the mind of God. This is God, God's mind. Isn't that amazing? But we didn't eat of it because we ate of this tree over here. This is called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And this was forbidden. But Eve was drawn to that tree by the fact that it was beautiful to look at, it was good for food, and it would make you wise and you become like a god. Sounds like a great package deal. Come on. So we ate from this tree and died. Spiritually, we died. We lost God. We had to leave the garden. We didn't have access to that tree. that tree of life. We lost it. We lost the garden. We lost the tree of life. And now our life is under a curse because we sinned. Now turn to your neighbor and just say, why did you eat from that tree? Look at the mess that we are in today. Why? Why did you do that? Okay. Why did you do that? Okay. And there are many answers to that question. I think it is a mystery why Adam did. He was also tempted by his wife. His relationship with Eve was very important to him, and she offered it to him. She listened to the devil. She ate of the fruit, but the curse didn't come yet. When she ate of the tree, she shouldn't have, but she did, and then she offered it to her husband. The husband, the head of the house, the head of the two, and now he knows what he's doing. He's making a decision between obedience to God and submission or agreement with his wife. And which did he choose? The wife. The wife. Come on. That's what happens. The woman had, by the way, to the women, and Mother's Day was a month ago, so the party's over. Party's over, okay? The woman has a lot of influence over the man and continues today. And the man needs help. He does. He needs help. So that's there's some thoughts there for you to think about. Here it is. We sinned. We now become aware of good and evil. We have the knowledge of good and evil. And this is like a psychology, actually. This is Romans 7 is Bible psychology. Romans 7 is teaching me about the problem I have in my heart, the problem I have with myself. The Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, schizophrenia, that I am good and I am bad. I am sometimes very good and then I am sometimes very bad. You know, I'm disappointed with myself. So there's many things to say about it. But just to say in simple terms that this sin nature, these two chairs, represent a battle that I have inside myself. Because if we want to say, we have good, and actually I am aware of being good. I am aware of it. I am able to be good in a relative sense, not in an absolute sense, not like there, Christ, at that tree. But here, in a relative sense, I can be good for a couple weeks, couple months or years, and then I also have present with me is evil. So evil is present with me in my life. And that's a problem for me, because I am afraid of the evil. Or in my mind, I know I am good, but I also park here. There are times when I feel I have hypocrisy. I am good, and then in my evil, I cover it up. I don't want other people to know about it. I can't be transparent. I can't really be honest. It's very hard. I can't really be humble. It's too, I am ashamed. I am afraid. There are many words that we say for this kind of state of mind. It's called sin. It's the effect of sin in my soul, in my heart. So Romans 7, Paul writes about it. And he's very honest. He's very biblical. I mean, very theologically sound. I mean, obviously, he's writing the Word of God. And it's very important for us to understand these things. Because if God can be very direct and honest with me about myself, then that helps me, like, believe that there's no answer for this except Christ and his cross, death. The answer for my sin nature is death. Romans 6 teaches that. We died with him. We are crucified with him. We died with Christ. We were buried with Christ. The Bible says that. That we died, Romans 6:4, Romans 6:6. We're buried with him, Colossians 2:15. We were dead in our sin, and there was no way out of it. So the law came, but the law couldn't get me over there. Because this is really where you want to go. This is where we will be alive to God. And notice here, it's not in the presence of evil. This chair is not in the presence of evil. We are not, listen, in heaven with God, is there evil? There is not. Is there any darkness in God? In him is light and no darkness at all. Is there any lie with God? No, God cannot lie. God, Titus 2:1, verse 2, God is not in error. God is true. God is wise. God is alive. God is not a sinner. God is not wrestling with evil. God is way above and beyond it all. Before all of creation, before there was ever any evil, God was fully satisfied in himself. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, constantly in communion. And the reality of God in God is fully satisfying. He is holy. He is awesome. He is wise. He's not divided. He is one, but three. In total harmony, not jealous, not envious, not struggling with himself. Isn't that amazing? God's not struggling with himself. What about over there? Okay, this is where the struggle is. Let's read Romans 7, and we'll go to verse 10. And again, it'll just be kind of a simple read. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Watch. Here's a man struggling with himself, and here's the law. Stay in the good chair. Do the good things. Read your Bible. Say your prayers. Go to the church. Make your sacrifice. Be obedient. Be loyal. Be faithful. And you're sitting here saying, yes, I'll do my best. Yes, I'll do my best. Yes, maybe I will. I don't know how it'll go. But then 3 weeks later, it's like, I'm done. You know what? I don't really care anymore. Or I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, I don't feel good. I don't know. I got to go out. I need a release. I need emotional release. I'm under pressure. I don't feel so good. I got to go party. I got to do something. I got to get released. I need help. I need something. I can't take the religion. I take the religion and do the best I can for a couple of years. But eventually you're going to have a crash. And that crash is what happens to us because this is our sin nature. It is not knowing God. Yeah, it knows religion, but it doesn't know God. Did you hear that? There's a lot of religion in the world because man is made for it. And he needs God, but he doesn't know who God is. He has a concept of God, but he cannot deliver him. He has a concept of God, but he doesn't know who God is. There's no, he cannot, Romans 3:10-18, you've got to know those verses. That man, he does not know God, he does not understand God, and he does not seek God. His whole head is sick from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He's filled with wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. You know, I'm reading a series of psychology books from Christian counselors on cutting, divorce, motherhood, suicide, depression. I'm reading these books. They're just small 30-page booklets, but I'm just rediscovering that the fundamental problem with all of us is our sin nature. And there's many manifestations. Borderline personality is another one. Wow. Amazing. Now the message will get better. Right now we're at a low point, okay? Message. Let's hope it gets better. Let's start, keep reading. Chapter 7. The commandment was ordained, verse 10, to life, and I found it unto death. It did not help me. You know, the law did not help me. The commandment, it's referring to the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments and other laws that are embodied in the Mosaic codified law of civil law, religious law, moral law. Okay, the Jewish laws, 600 plus Jewish laws. And you give this law to man, like in the United States, a country of 330 million people, and it's law. We should live by law. But the law can't bring me to God. The law can't bring you to God. I hope you know that. When Jesus came into the world in Israel, they were filled with law. The Orthodox Jews, the Pharisees and Sadducees, they knew the law very well. But he said, you have the law, but you won't come to me. I am the answer. I am the way. I am the tree of life. I am the wisdom of God. I am the way, but you cannot come to me except if you come by faith. Okay. Go to verse. The law is holy and it is good. Verse 12. We then, that which is good, what was then that which is good made death unto me? Verse 13. You know, some of you may get offended by what I'm saying about the law, but you have to understand it in the context of what I am saying, what the Apostle Paul is saying. He's saying, like, the law is like a mirror, that you look into the law and you see that your face is dirty. So the law has a function to show you that your face is dirty, but the mirror can't wash your face. The mirror can't save you. The mirror cannot change your life. That mirror is not enough. So you must come by faith and understand that God is the God of all grace that saves you by his son's blood that atones for your sin and his cross that crucifies the sin nature and gives you a new life. But then as a Christian, but can I go from that chair over to these? And the answer is yes, because I have a sin nature. And in my sin nature, I might think like this, well, I'm doing pretty good as a Christian. I've been doing real well. I mean, the last 3 weeks have been awesome. I've been doing real well. And maybe, you know, maybe I have. Actually, maybe I've been sitting over here and been showered with the grace, the spirit, the wisdom. I've been edified, built up, and I'm thinking, this is awesome. I found Jesus. Jesus is real to me. I found Jesus. He's real to me. 3 months later, I don't feel that way anymore. And so I get kind of concerned about that. I go back to some bad habits, or I wake up in the morning depressed, or I'm very discouraged by myself. I become aware of myself, and I just say, well, I better really work at being good. I got to work at being good. I better pick up my act. I got to get the program. I got to do real well because I know what that is. But as I do good, it's empty. as I do good, as I go through the program, it's not as free. I don't have the liberty. Actually, evil is present with me. And I'm afraid I'm going to do something crazy on a Friday night. Or on a Monday or a week or a month. I'm afraid of that, but I got to control myself. I got to control myself. So this is my sin nature living the Christian life. This is my sin nature living the Christian life. And when I do good, evil is present, and I don't like that. Because it brings out a contest between me and my evil nature. I mean, my activity, my behaviors, my thoughts, and I started to fight with myself. I'm fighting with myself. How do I control this? How do I stay clean? And I got another problem. You are watching me. And when you are watching me, I go, oh, I'm great. Hi. Hey, it's great, huh? It's great, huh? I want you to understand I'm doing good because I'm afraid that you'll find out how I'm really doing. Because I feel like you know, we're playing the same game. I'm just behaving and doing good, and then you are too. And we don't have the contact. We don't have the connection. We don't have the fellowship because we are in our sin nature. In our sin nature, we don't have Jesus. In actual living, we don't have the liberty. So churches can become very like, you know, like people are just like well behaving. Hello, how are you? I'm talking very nicely. I'm behaving very well. Yes, I do belong. Yes, I've been here for many decades. My family and I, and we're very well behaved and we are Christian. I hope you notice that. It's all about me, isn't it? My reputation or my life or the way you see me and so on. It's not satisfying. It's not satisfying. It's Romans 7. Okay, let's read it. Romans 7, verse 14. We know the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. So would you say that to your neighbor, just the last part? But what I hate, that's what I do. But what I hate, that's what I do. But what I hate, and this is a good word, actually, but what I hate, that's what I do. Now I'm going to play with it, may tone it down, dial it back a little bit by making a joke or a little bit funny. You know, I'm on a diet, I'm trying to control my eating, and so I hate chocolate cake, but that's what I'm doing right now. And when I go to bed at night, I got this Hubby Chubby ice cream, I got this, man, these quarts of it. I have quarts of it in my freezer, and I just eat two quarts before I go to bed at night. And man, I hate that, but that's what I do. Aren't we crazy? We are. We need Jesus. We need Jesus in our life. In short, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say the tree of knowledge of good and evil is like a swamp. And if you want to live there, you can. And you'll be fighting with your bad habits and your life, trying to manage it and control it. But there's another tree. There's another way. There really is. There's another way. It's Jesus. And this whole thing about church life is fellowshipping with Jesus and finding him and knowing him. Why do we get together? Because of him. Why? What are we looking for? We want Jesus to speak to our heart and by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, and help us. We want to have fellowship with each other in freedom. I'm not afraid of you, and you're not afraid of me. We're in fellowship in the presence of Christ. We're not hiding. We're not living in hypocrisy, emptiness. We're not doing a show or a game. We have found Jesus in our hearts. Christ is in you. Christ is in us. We're in fellowship with him. And you know that. That's why we can say it like that, because you know that. You have that. You know about it. The point of the message is we do that thing over there. But when you do, just kind of realize, oh, wretched man that I am. Let's look at that. Chapter 7. We'll start from verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing, for to will is present, but how to perform that which is good I find not. I don't know if you can follow that with me, but this is, I'll read it over here. I know that in me dwells no good thing. I mean, yes, I have goodness relatively, but actually I don't really know how I can live in that goodness for, you know, like, and even if I did find it, it's death. It's empty. It's pride. It's empty goodness. Like, it's not absolute goodness. It's just relative to people. And so into my past. Verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that is what I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. The devil made me do it. Sin made me do it. It wasn't me. It was sin that dwells in me. Now we hit a nerve. That's amazing. It's not me, it's sin that dwells in me. So he isolates this from himself, and he's saying from here, if I sin, it's not me, because you know who I am? I am as he is in this present evil world. That's my new identity. My new identity, I am crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That's me. That's my new identity. Is that true? Think about it. Now, in the Alcoholics Anonymous, which I'm thankful for people that get help, but they have this in their philosophy. My name is David. Hello, my name is David, and I'm an alcoholic. And I'll add in there, all the rest of my life, I'm an alcoholic. That's my identity. My name is Brian. I'm an alcoholic. So in their meetings, that's how it goes. I'm thankful for anybody who gets out of the alcohol. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying identity is important. Hi, my name is David. I'm an alcoholic. 2 years later, my name is David. I'm an alcoholic. 10, 20 years later, my name is David, I'm an alcoholic. The reason I'm saying this, because people have told me when they come into the church, they say, I'm thankful I can change that sentence. My name is David, I am a child of God, okay? My name is David, I am not my sin. That's gone, buried. I have a new identity. When I was raised with Christ, I was not an alcoholic. I was raised with Christ as a child of God. Hi, my name is Brian. I am born again, a child of God, spirit-filled, eating at the tree of life. You see, you get the idea, you know that. Okay. But you can apply it to many things. Who are you? Do you know who you are? Do you have a new identity? Does Jesus call you by name? Do you know who you are? And I'm talking about complicated problems that we all can have as people, from child abuse to sad, broken hearts and divorce and bad habits and many problems that we have as a people. that this is in our culture, and we're saying this is incredible what this is saying. Really. Let's finish it here. It says Romans 7, verse 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. So in a way, well, we can say, when I would do good, evil is present with me. So this is this world. But I find another law after the inward man. And I'm living my life, and in a sense, evil is not with me. I'm free from it. How come? Because Christ ascended far above all principality and power. Because Christ overcame all evil things. He's far above them, far above all principality and power, every lie, everything. So this is who we are. And he says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. The spiritual man, the inward man. And I see another law warring in my members against the law of my mind. Wow, what a good word that is. I see another thing warring against this doctrine. I see another thing warring against what we are saying. I see something warring against Christ. Warring against the finished work, warring against the meaning of the cross. I see something else, like warring against God and his way. Verse, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. That's interesting. I've seen it happen to me. I'm kind of dragged over here. Kind of dragged over here and said, this is where you belong. This is where you live. This is where it is. This is reality for you. This is your fight. This is the world that you live in. This is what you have. Very complicated, very difficult, a lot of tension, a lot of back and forth, a lot of struggling. And that's all that's your life. And I go, no, that's not my life. I don't believe that. I believe living with Jesus is simple and clear, and there's authority and there's victory over our sin nature. That doesn't mean that we're without sin. It just means we have victory over our sin nature. That's Romans chapter 8 teaches that. So that's the message for today. Yeah. You thought I was done? I am almost. I want to shout this out. Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from the body of this death? Who? Now, what's the word who mean? Personal pronoun. Who? Not what? What method, what mechanism, what model do I follow, what instruction? No, who will pull me, take me? Who will bring me through the cross? Who will set me up on a rock higher than myself? Who will set me free from myself? Jesus will. That's what it is. That's the message. Yeah, it's amazing. Okay, pray with me. Lord, even without understanding all of that, but just getting the idea that there's a way for us, a new and living way, just to realize that you haven't left us in this world with a sin nature that we would be battling in our flesh all the time, and that there would be an empty kind of a fleshly religion of structure and behaviors that is empty spiritually, but that we realize that you came into the world so that we'd be translated from one kingdom to another, that we would be a new creation, that we would be born again, that we would live in this world as he is, so are we in this evil world. We would be like you and eat of that tree of life. Is there a tree of life? Is there a tree of life? There is. The cross is a tree of death and life. Through death, we found life. In the paradise of God in heaven, there is a tree of life. And he that overcomes, I will give to him to eat of the tree of life in the midst of the garden of God. Lord, we have overcome through Jesus Christ. We're thankful for that. Maybe someone here hasn't started your Christian life yet. You haven't made a decision. You're not all in. You haven't said to him, I need you. Forgive me. Save me. You haven't said to Jesus in your heart, I'm turning from other gods. I'm turning to you and you only. I'm forsaking the world in that way and turning from the gods of this world. And I'm trusting in you as my Savior. Say that prayer. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. If you say that in your heart, then you are born of God, a child of God. Start walking by faith. He will hear your prayers and answer you. He will help you. He will speak to you. He loves you. He forgives you. He gives you grace. He forgives you again and again. Confess your sin to him again, and he forgives you again and again and again. He forgives you. He loves you. Start walking with him, the God of all grace. And you will know this freedom and spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.